To the world of sports now, and a big weekend in pro football. It's wild card weekend in the NFL, the first round of playoff games on the road to the Super Bowl on February 6th in Dallas. Sports writer Stefan Fatsis joins us now, as he does most Fridays. Hey, Stefan.
Hey, Michelle.
Now, before we get down to this weekend's big games, we've got some football business news to take care of. Let's handle that first. There were reports this week that the NFL was close to extending its television contract with ESPN. Please tell us more.
Now, the deal is for the Monday Night Football franchise. The trade publication Sports Business Daily reported that the NFL and ESPN are talking about a deal starting with the 2014 season that would pay the NFL $1.8 or $1.9 billion a year, up from $1.1 billion now. That's going to put the NFL in an awkward position. The league is negotiating with its players' union over a new labor contract. It is arguing that its economics are in turmoil, and it's kind of hard to make that argument if you're getting paid $2 billion a year for the rights to one game a week.
Yeah, it seems like you could just say thank you.
Look, labor negotiations are complicated, and they're going to get a lot of money for their TV deals no matter what, and much goes into how the league and its players divide up the revenue, but still, it does put the NFL in this weird position. This week, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, didn't talk about the TV deal, but he did release a letter addressed to fans about the labor talks. And he said that economic conditions have changed dramatically since the last deal in 2006, and that while the players deserve to be paid well, the economy is forcing everyone to make tough choices. You've got to read between Goodell's platitudes about protecting player safety while simultaneously giving fans more regular season games, which the league wants to do. This letter is simply part of a public relations strategy that the league is going to need if, as many people fear, a deal stalls, the NFL locks out the players, and worst case scenario, summer all of 2011, the season gets canceled.
Oh, horrors. Let's not think of that. But let's think of the games that are coming up. We've got some great games left to enjoy this season. There are two games this Saturday, two more on Sunday. We're talking wild card games now. Can you give us a quick breakdown? And I just got to say, the Seahawks?
Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks are hosting the defending Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints on Saturday. The other game's the Indianapolis Colts at home against the New York Jets. Sunday, it's the Baltimore Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles. Before I get to the Seahawks, the best game is probably the Packers and the Eagles. Two top 10 offensive teams, excellent quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay, Michael Vick of Philadelphia. But the Seahawks game is the one that everyone is talking about. And that's because the Seahawks got to the playoffs with a losing record. 7 wins, 9 losses. It's the first time that's happened in a non-strike shortened season in the NFL. They made it because they won a very weak National Football Conference West division. Their opponents, the Saints, want 11 games, but they're the ones that have to get on a plane and travel 6 hours and play a road game in a very noisy stadium.
How does that happen?
That's the rule. If you win your division, you get to host a playoff game. Roger Goodell did say that the league is going to look at this in the offseason. The problem isn't just the Seahawks here. Two of the other road teams, the Jets and the Ravens, have better records than their hosts. There's been a suggestion to reseed the teams once they qualify for the playoffs. So if you win your division, you get in, but you don't automatically get the benefit of a home game. I think you could go further and get rid of divisions entirely, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
Stefan, we need you to help us out with something. There's one longstanding practice in the NFL that's changed for the playoff season, and that's the way a tie game is settled in overtime. It's always been sudden death. First team to score wins. Not anymore. Tell us about this new procedure.
Yeah, now if you get the ball to start overtime and you score a touchdown, the game ends. But if you only kick a field goal, the other team gets the ball back. There are a bunch of other contingencies that I can't go into because it would just take too much time, but I've got two reactions to this. One is that a NFL game won't necessarily end with a score by a team, with a team scoring, and I think that's kind of weird. The other, and I say this as someone who's been a kicker, is that the NFL is marginalizing one form of scoring against another, which seems unfair and kind of silly to me. I think that both teams should have a crack at the ball in an overtime because there is more equity in that, but I think it should happen regardless of the method of scoring.
Thank you, Stefan. Happy viewing this weekend.
Thanks, Michelle.
That's Stefan Fatsis. He's the author of A Few Seconds of Panic, A Sports Writer Plays in the NFL, and he joins us most Fridays to talk about sports and the business of sports.